For apologies, oh, I did the first one. And then I need just to check if ever there's any apologies from the secretary. You don't have any? Okay. So there are no apologies to the committee. There's actually then on your agenda before you the adoption. We're looking at the consideration of the adoption of the draft minutes. There should be minutes that have been circulated to committee members. I'm sure you have copies of minutes we have before us. We will actually start with that on our agenda. We do have the consideration of the second quarter report, which is actually the next item. The third one will be actually consideration of the oversight program for 2020 and consideration of the first quarter program for 2020. We should actually be closing or finishing at about 1. If I can actually get the committee members, because you are on item, the third one, 1104206, in terms of adoption of the agenda. Can I just check with members then if ever we have any comments or amendments to what we're suggesting in terms of our issues for discussion, second quarter oversight, first quarter 2020. Okay. Buyane.
Thank you, Chair. Morning. I propose that we adopt the agenda as it is. Thank you, Chair.
And get the second down.
Thank you, Chair. I second the adoption of the agenda.
Can we then actually proceed unless there's any other comments on this issue? If not, can we then proceed to pick up on the agenda item, a consideration and adoption of the draft minutes? Before you, you should actually be having copies of minutes. The first one is 11 October, if I'm not mistaken. The set of minutes you have with you. If we can just maybe get covered.
If I can just maybe make a little bit of a public service announcement. If you look at the attendance of our committee internally versus what is reported on PNG, which I know the committee is not responsible for, is it possible that you could maybe provide the PNG researchers with an accurate account of what public attendance is? Because you'll find that if they say we've attended, for argument's sake, 75% of our meetings, we've actually attended 85%, and then our constituents come to us and say, do we pay you to sleep in Parliament? So maybe just, you know, in terms of accuracy and making sure that we cover all bases, could you please provide them with that information?
Okay. And Mbuyane?
Chair, thank you very much. I think the PMT attend each and every meeting, so they have their attendance registers as well. But for the proposal, I think they can just consolidate and check which one in terms of attendance. But they are here even now. They've got their attendance register. They've got our own. So I think in the midst, you can do that.
Yeah, Captain. Thank you, Chair. I just want to give you an example. So certain of our we've had training sessions, right? Those count as committee meetings, but then we've had other training sessions that don't count. Or, you know, they say that we haven't attended that particular meeting. So maybe just to cross-verify, you know, with our stakeholders in Parliament so that we can make sure it's an accurate reflection.
Maybe what we actually can do with that one, I think Cuthbert is quite an important issue, that if ever they report, we just have to make sure that it's correct and accurate in terms of what we did as the committee. There may be areas where they don't cover or report of what we have done, and maybe ensure that they are actually able to access that information. So I'm just saying, as a committee, there won't be anything that might be a challenge at this stage, because on our record, which is actually one of them which we're looking at, there will be reflection on how long we have taken or on what issue, on what day we have actually engaged on the issue, be it training or the committee will try and actually do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's more sharing of the information with the entity. But at this stage, I think from what you're saying, it makes sense. If they report and they haven't got our complete report, we should make sure that they are up to date. Because if ever they go public with our information, it should be complete and accurate. I think we agree with you with that. Mbuyan?
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. As we speak about the PMG vis-a-vis the attendance register of the committee, we have learned that they have written late in the attendance register. Who's administering this one? The people who wrote it. You see, it's a problem. Because now here they propose that you must integrate and check the attendance while they are writing these things as well. Who wrote this thing? Because no way you can sign this thing here.
So can I just say, I thought on my part it may not be an issue for the discussion of the committee. And I thought it will be important that the secretariat should be able to have information of our work accessible, but on the basis on how those entities report publicly, it may be an issue that we may not have full control of. But it will be important to note if ever there's information that they choose to release and information they don't. If they report, they should do it completely and in line with what we're doing as a committee. I think largely that might be the point we have to look at. So I've been shown the register. So it's actually quite important because this is our register. And I think there's someone who actually has been very creative who has written late. Who wrote this on our program? Because it might be a committee member who would really appreciate because this is very important. Timekeeping is very important. And I think if we can actually have sense of that. Because what you're raising, Cuthbert, is a point that we won't interfere with other, you know, institutional entities that comes here. But I think for the committee members, if ever actually someone comes later, I think we did have the whole caucus of the ANC being late. And on my part as a chair, I did actually apologize for late coming or starting the meeting late. I'm not sure if ever it's an issue that we're going to make a real big argument on the basis of that. Can we actually just pass this because it's not about any other entity. It's just members of this committee that might be quite unhappy that for the first time the chair is late for the meeting, which I understand very well. You know, if the chair keeps time and when it's late, it does actually raise a point where you are not happy as members of the committee. Manteshe, I want us to pass on this one.
I also, Chair,
yeah.
Thank you. I also want us to pass, but I just want to pose a question. If this is going to be a practice of this committee, that if anyone is late, someone jumps into the register and write late, because people have been late and we have never, I'm not justifying our being late, but I'm just asking if it is procedural for anyone to write on anyone's name except the secretariat of this committee and the chair.
It will. Okay, Mbuyan, we want to say something. Can I actually ask that we try and conclude on the matter because I understand very well why it will be interesting and important for someone to do that because we actually have all other members here and then the other members came late. I think something that we have to note. Mbuyani?
Yeah, I think, as I raised this matter, we must conclude by signing another register. Anyone has no right to just impede the word signature or write anything we're supposed to be written by a member. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying on this one, it's actually someone who is here, and I don't think it will be anyone who does.
All right, just because everyone was late.
Then that's the point.
Well, then come on down then. Come on, Tom. Don't be late and waste our time. And next to it, it says late. So I was helping you guys out. Be on time next time.
Can I just check? Mantashe, can we not do the shouting? Can we actually have a discussion? Can I just say to the honourable member, Mantashe? I will say to McPherson, he doesn't always come on time, always to the committee, and when he comes early, then he gets excited that everyone is late.
And when I do come late, it's written there late.
No, you do come late without being written. We know that. Can I just say, McPherson, please don't be too excited. And the point is that, don't be too excited because you are never on time yourself.
Most of the time.
Exactly. So the point is that you are never on time yourself. So I'm just saying, don't be actually too excited when you beat others ahead of time, as you did today. Excellent. We think we need committee members to act like yourself, but don't be too excited and start actually doing funny things as you are doing now. It's not necessary. It doesn't make sense.
With respect, if the governing party can't be on time, I think that says a lot. So I was just helping to point that out for you.
No, we're happy that McPherson really respects the ruling party, and he actually knows, because it's only one day in the rest of the committee which we had that we actually have the ruling party being raided as a caucus. So I'm just saying it's a bad surprise. I'm sorry for that. I'm seeing as the leadership of the opposition in this process, of the ruling party on this process, we'll just say to McPherson, we will try not to actually shock you, because it is a shock that those who have to be providing leadership are not here on time. Can we then have for the reason of what he has done, we will recirculate a register. McPherson, don't write late. We can write our own times on when we arrive, but we are going to sign again the register that goes around. Can we then proceed
to
our
conclusion? It is amazing what animates this committee. What is or isn't written next to their name.
Well, the point is
that interesting.
The excitement of McPherson actually makes us, very, very, I'm actually happy that he actually recognizes that we're always on time. And on the basis of that, we'll say, McPherson, we will try not to do that again. Apologies to you particularly. We will actually recycle the register. Can we then actually then proceed to the next item on the agenda, which is minutes on the adopted agenda. The first set before us is the 11th October. If we can actually ask that we get members to look at the first page of the minutes of 11th of October, if ever there are any issues, corrections on the minutes on the first page. And then if not, can you look at the second page of the minutes? Any correction? And then we'll look at the register attached to that with the apology from McPherson. So if ever we're comfortable with that, can we actually then agree that we take this as true reflection of the meeting we had on the 16th, on the 11th of October at M201? Can we then take the next step? This one is agreed to. We'll ask for the mover and the seconder on the correctness of the minutes. Okay, can we get the mover
I move that the minutes be adopted.
Then can we get a seconder to the minutes? So you see, people who are not in the meeting cannot actually approve. So the people who were in the meeting, not true, those who are not, can't actually move or second Yako.
Chair, can I just say something?
Yes.
The reason I myself cannot endorse these minutes, ever second these minutes, is because I don't like how they're written, and I've expressed that. It's not to my satisfaction how they are expressed in the two pages. So I have an issue with that, personally, as it doesn't reflect entirely. And I've been told that it will be sent via email, the entire report. However, I, on behalf of the AFF, cannot accept those minutes and endorse them as they are.
So you were hoping that we look at the amendment which you want to make on the minutes so that at least they're in the order that you like.
No, Chair, that's not the point. Yeah. I just expressed that the formulation of the minutes, I have an issue with. Now, I have expressed that to the committee. So in my conscience, I can't endorse what I do not approve of in terms of the minutes. Thank you.
Because on this one, it was just training, which you had on the specific one. On the minutes where there was a discussion of the committee, you might find that it might be a different view. So I think it's actually yourself, Yako, and Mulder who were present in that meeting. So is Honorable Mulder feeling the same, if ever is that? Honorable Mulder?
Chair, I'll help you out today, but you owe me a lunch for that.
Well, I'll actually write it on the back of my diary. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we actually have Nguyen and Mulder. Yeah, on the minutes of the 11th of October. Can I ask you to take the next? Oh, Hermans and... Herman and Mulder. Yeah. And then can we actually take the next set of minutes? I think it's the 12th of November. If you can actually have a look on the first page. Page one of the... So I think for Secretariat, you actually must remember that issue raised by Honorable Yaku. Maybe at some point we actually have to make sure that we have a look at that of how the and the lunch for Mulder.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Page one of the minutes, 12th November. If ever there any correction amendment, if none, can I ask that we look at the second page of the minutes? So if there's nothing on the second page, can I ask that we look at page 3? And then the register is attached for the attendance of the meeting of the 12th of November. Okay, so which means we can have the mover and the seconder, Moses.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for adoption of the minutes.
Okay, let's get the seconder of the minutes of the 12th. There's a mover. Uyako, who's on strike. Agra Mutahu. She's on strike, Uyako. And then Mutahu.
Thanks, Chair. I second the adoption of the minutes.
Okay. So, unless there's any objection, can we actually then proceed that the minutes are agreed to? We actually then go to the next set of minutes, which is the 13th of. Okay. You still on the 12th?
Yes.
Or just the general question?
No, on the 12th.
Yeah.
There's a resolution of the committee on that day that the stakeholders would submit responses and write by the 22nd of November. I just want to check if there has been any submissions made by those stakeholders.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, on item one of the agenda, EDD and DTI, they have responded, but the sugar association or the sugar industry hasn't yet. Thank you.
Okay. So we may need to follow up on that. Okay. Thank you, Montage. Unless there are other further issues, because it's more to issue arising, take the next set, 13th of November. If I can ask that we look at the first page of the minutes. And then we can proceed to the second page. Because I can see that we had a lot of minutes we adopted on the same day, on the 13th. So can we look at page 3 of the minutes? So there is a register attached. Can I ask that we then get a I'm not sure if ever there is an attached document. Secretary is saying there's an attached document for the 12th. On the minute. There's a document attached, so I'm asked that I should actually make you aware of. So because it's actually Mwase moved.
Yes, Chair, I move for adoption of the minutes of the 13th
November. So the second of Mbuyane.
Chairperson, I second for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Tring, you wanted to make.
Chair, I just wanted to know the detailed report to be tabled for both item 3 and 4. The detailed report to be tabled on the deliberations, or the detailed report to be tabled on the briefing by the IBC 3 and the briefing by the NEF 4.
So it's actually, I think, it's for all the entities. It's actually on the basis that we're trying to make sure that maybe by the coming week all the information should be available, and then we can be able to send to all committee members.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So can you understand then by the detailed report is going to be tabled?
Yes. Yes.
By the end of the month?
Next week.
Next week.
Yeah. Okay. So as a matter arising, thank you, Honorable Thring. Can I ask that we look at the next set of minutes? The next set of minutes is on the 19th November. The first page of the minutes. If ever there are any issues. And then I'll ask that we look at the second page of the minutes. And then let's look at page 3 of the minutes. There's an item which we have on item number 7 on our agenda. The members did make a submission of their skills assessment, and the process actually was done, and there should be a report that we able to circulate to members. Today, I think by the end of day today, that will be actually sent to all the committee members, the feedback on that process, which is item 7, committee resolutions. Okay.
And there's just a
point where I thought maybe it might be helpful, because we can try and actually get them to speak to us so that we can ask clarity questions as well on that report. If you have maybe copies, we can circulate and then actually get them to speak to us as a committee. Okay, so that we can adjourn. Yeah. After the report, yeah. Mwena, you wanted to raise the point?
No, Chair, thank you. I wanted to check, as you're saying, you'll circulate, I don't know, how is it that you need to circulate, because here, we just raised that you follow up on members that did not submit their case audit to you, so that you are able to formulate a program that this next year you are able to capacitate ourselves in terms of as a committee also. There's no report that is there. You can just even now tell us how many have submitted, how many were not submitted. There's nothing to circulate. Thank you, sir.
Good thing is that all members have submitted. I will ask the relevant team, including myself. I can actually just ask the team to speak to us on that and share the report. Yeah, I'll do it because they will just call them. They'll actually have to come through before you leave today. Yeah, in this committee meeting. And we are.
Chair, then on that note, I propose the adoption. There's
a move for adoption of the minute. Emma?
I second the adoption.
Okay. Can we then actually proceed to the next set of minutes? This one did April 19, November 1. There was a task register as well. Can we then pick up on the 27th November set of minutes? And look at the first page of the minutes. And then the second page of the minutes. And then the third page. And then in terms of resolution on the third page, it's still actually awaited, the issue relating to entities. So that's still actually awaited. The last page will be the register, which we have attached for the minutes. Maybe I can then ask the committee members to reflect on the minutes, if it's through reflection of what happened. Mover. Mantashe. Move. Okay. Seconda. Mutawu. Oh, I saw McPherson raising a hand.
I was scratching my head.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought he would be a good seconda. Mutawu, but
thank
fine.
Thank you. I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you. Agreed too. Can we actually then look? I think that's the last set of the minutes we have. Yeah. This was actually. Okay. Natasha, you wanted to raise the point? Yeah. So I think that was the last set of the minutes which I spoke to the 27th November. Is the last copy. I'm not. You can actually maybe speak before we pass the minutes. Natasha?
I was looking at the response, the attachment to our minutes, which is the response from the stakeholder on economic development. Does it go with the minutes? This document.
That one is for the 12th November.
Yes, Chair.
Yes.
The comment on paragraph 2 of that document. The committee noted with concern the contraction in economic growth in the second quarter of 2019-20 financial year, particularly in relation to the agricultural, construction and transport sectors. This was particularly concerning given these sectors' more labor-intensive nature and the impact on the unemployment rate. The committee requested EDD to provide an analysis for this contraction and whether it is considering measures to support and even revitalize these sectors. I see the analysis they've supplied, Chair, but the second part of the question has not been responded to. And that for me is a concern. Yes, they give the analysis on page 2, but there's no response to the question whether the measures they are considering to support to revitalize the sector. And that, for me, is critical, Chair.
So, can we note that? Because I think there was some follow-up. But if you can actually note those questions and make sure that there's a follow-up. With the Secretariat, we'll actually follow up on that, rather than actually trying to discuss at this stage. Can we then agree, noting the point you raised, Montasha? Can we then proceed to the next item on the agenda, which is...
Can I put on record that we are concerned about this over, what would I call it, them not responding to the question fully, because it is our agenda to ensure that all sectors that support the economy can create jobs. So for them it is not a priority as far as their response is concerned. And that is not palatable to us.
Yeah, because what I understand, Buya, Muntasha, is that the update has been sent today. Yeah, this morning. Yeah. It was this morning. We can follow through and check as well, Chan. Okay. Can we then actually proceed to the next item on the agenda? Yeah. Okay, I'm sure, is that, it's where you're sitting, Mark? There will be few members that won't be able to see you. Yeah. Can we then actually go through to the next item, which is actually the consideration of second quarter report? Can we then agree as well that when we pick up on an issue where there's an addition or a suggested change, it will be done immediately by Margo? So we would actually then ask those who actually make suggestions just to slow down so that she can type and capture it, you know, exactly at the time when we actually got the document. Margo, then we'll take us through the report.
You just need to summarize what's in it. Okay. So in section one, we give us a brief introduction to the report. We then outline what the mandate of the committee is in relation to the Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which informs this process. And then the purpose of the report is outlined, which is mainly to look at the second quarter of the DTI and the EDD in terms of the non-financial and financial performance, and then the method in terms of which having received that briefing on the 12th November 2019. Then 1.4 gives an outline of the contents of the report. And then we've got two sections. The first section looks at the Department of Economic Development. We give the strategic objectives in 2.1. In 2.2, we briefly give a summary of what the key performance areas were. In terms of non-financial performance, we look at what they had to deliver, and then the areas where they had not met their targets, which is three KPIs. And they've indicated that these KPIs would be delivered in the next quarter, which ends at the end of December. Then in terms of financial performance, we note how much the budget of the EDD is, as well as how much they've spent to date and the economic classification of that spending. And then we also note just what the key programs were that spent the majority of the money. And why. Then we go through the issues raised during the deliberation. So we capture what and synthesize what members have raised, and also then provide the responses, which have got the detailed response in the documents just submitted by the secretary this morning. So for EDD, we've raised the expenditure for legal services, continued contraction on economic growth, which is that analysis Ms. Mantas just mentioned. And because we only received the responses recently, we will still need to just summarize this particular issue because it's quite long, and yeah, so just make it more report style writing and summarize it a bit. Then the other issue we raise is the participation in an awareness of the temporary employee relief scheme and the response in relation to that. Illicit trade, what the department is doing to prevent this and to curb it. And then looking at the best practices to support small farmer development, which is mostly forming under agricultural land reform and rural development, but there has been some work that the EDD has done in relation to this. Then we also raise the implementation of the funds administered by the IDC, namely the Agro-Processing Competitive Fund and the Downstream Steel Industry Competitiveness Fund, and the EDD's responses in relation to that.
And then Section 3 starts and looks at the Department of Trade and Industry, its strategic goals, it's an overview of its financial and non-financial performance. Under Section 3.2, and then under 3.3, we again look at the issues raised by the committee in relation to that, as well as the responses from the DTI. So the issues raised were around mitigation of the impact of the ArcelorMittal South Africa's closure of its Saldanha plant. The support offered through the incentive programs, the progress in reducing red tape with a focus on the business visas and work permits as well, and then the trade deficit with the BRIC countries that was raised. There was also an issue around the product supported through the Global Export Passport Program. In terms of the response, it was more generic response about what sectors were supported through the program. However, there isn't necessarily a detailed input about so how much of or what products have actually realized into actual exports, other than them training people to be able to access the market. Then there was a breakdown of the budget of the Industrial Development Division as requested by the committee, and the response to the Township and Rural Economies Master Plan. In this regard, the department has noted that it's actually the responsibility of the Department of Small Business Development, so they would support such a process, but they wouldn't be the lead on a process like this if it was decided that there would be a focus here. And then, so we've left our conclusions, and I think that we've received from the AIM committee a certain input, which I assume the members will present.
I wasn't sure if ever there will be comments, or we have to check per page before we actually go to the conclusions and recommendation in terms of the report. I'm not sure if there are any correction, amendment, which we actually have as members, because I can actually then ask that you allow me to move page by page, and then you can stop me when there's actually issue you want to raise per page, and then we can actually proceed. The first page, if you can look at that and ask if ever there are any comments, clarity, or corrections on the first page, because the presentation is actually was high level. We didn't actually go page by page in terms of discussion. The first page, if ever there is no issue from members or comments, we'll actually then ask that we go to the second page of the report. The members will indicate if ever there's any request for comments, clarity, questions, page 3 of the report. Then can we look at the fourth page? Mbuyane, you raised the hand?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I was responding to myself as well to say, because there are non-financial performance there, which are 3 of them. I think there are no submission in terms of 1, 2, 3. And we must also recall as a committee that we have seen some of the entities, not all of them. So I think one that is not submitted because the committee still need to have some of the submission that we requested. Remember, only even now brief, we have requested some items, but this one has come because we are not concluded in terms of seeing all the entities. Maybe they will have a report in terms of the 3 KPIs that is not submitted yet. That will be my submission.
Okay, well, on page 3 then. That's the one. Okay, non-financial performance issue. 3?
Chair, for me, I think touched on what Honorable Mbuyane had touched on. I think the KPIs obviously are a concern. Those three, but the minister or the report does indicate that this will be covered in the third quarter. So I think we just need to watch that. But the 1.1 billion rand that has budgeted for the 2019-20 year with 549.8 million being spent thus far, 87.7% on transfers and subsidies. Are we able to get some kind of idea as to what has been the successes with regards to those transfers? So there's 87.7%, 549.8 million, or 52% of the annual budget on transfers and subsidies. How do we measure that spend in terms of its success? In terms of is it reaching target? Are we able to see the number of businesses that have been developed, the number of small township, rural township developed, whatever the KPIs have been with regards to that particular spend? You know, otherwise we're just getting figures. This is the amount that was spent, but we don't know whether that spend was actually profitable.
It is more to an issue of what impact has these resources made in terms of the identified project. Okay. Margot?
On the first issue for the reasons, we would need to get that information from the EDD itself. If the members felt it needs to be incorporated in the report. And the second issue, the transfers of the EDD is primarily for its entities. So it would be related to what the performance is.
Okay, can we note that on page 3, unless there's other issue in page 3, honorable members, can I ask that we look at the next page, if ever there are any comments or clarity questions on page 4 of the document. Financial performance by program, 30 September. And those are actually issues listed.
Chair, comment again.
Okay, three.
Chair, on pages 4 going on to page 5, it raises some of the issues, and one of the issues raised is the continued contraction of economic growth. So we know that we had a contraction in the first quarter, contraction, and then a growth, was it the second quarter, growth in the third quarter. And so looking at those particular contractions that we've had in the economy, or the contraction that we had in the economy, and in particular agriculture, transport, and construction, this is the reason why I actually pose that particular question. So if we have this particular budget of 1.1 billion rand in economic EDD, how is it impacting particularly those particular entities or those particular sectors? So are we able to see that for that 1.1 billion rand that has been budgeted for EDD, that they've had some impact in that area? Or is it perhaps a challenge that we have with regards to policy certainty or policy uncertainty? And then how can we look at removing some of the uncertainties that we have with regards to what are the barriers, if there are any barriers, in those particular sectors, in agriculture, transport, and construction?
Yeah, thanks. I think on page 4, we need to correct the issue raised during the deliberation.
because here we're dealing with EDD, and the second will be dealing with the DTI on that other.
No, I thought you'd have a suggestion as well, and fix. When? You want to conclude your point?
Yeah. I think it's proper, Chair, to say, if you can check on page 5, the report that we just received now from attached to the minutes, it speaks exactly to what the page 5 is saying in terms of what you are raising the Comrade 3 in terms of the decline of the agriculture and the construction industry. I think it responds directly to what the Comrade 3 has raised. Thank you.
Chair, I think we will submit those responses to both EDD and DTI, although it's captured in the report as such, but we will submit those responses to members as well.
Cover? No, no reason. The train?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so you're stressing it. Train?
The other concern I wanted to raise was I chatted with a farmer on one of my constituency visits in Mpumalanga, and the concern with regards to macadamia. So while we've seen an uptake in the export of macadamia nuts, the challenge that this farmer raised was that it is highly irrigation intensive. So previously, the farming, it was forestry farming, which was dependent on the weather. So whatever rain that, you know, your crops were dependent on the weather. Now, it is draining the resources, the macadamian nut, particularly in the Mpumalanga area. I don't know about the other provinces. And so there's concern that with this uptake in exports, we could also see a reduction in available groundwater. So, again, it was a concern that was raised by a farmer, and I don't know whether, in the light that we are a water scarce country, that ought to be something that we need to be monitoring.
So, which means then you even saying they may have to relook at what agricultural product they have in terms of the future of less water for what they do in terms of their farming. Okay. Okay. Unless maybe there are other issues, we are on page 5. On page 5. If there are no comments on the 5th page. We will ask that we move to the next page, which is page 6. From page 6. So if ever there's no issue on page 6, because the concluding part there is participation in awareness of the temporary employer-employee relief scheme. Can we look at page 7? Issue relating to illicit trade. Page 6,
we're into page 7, the participation in the awareness of the temporary employer-employee relief scheme. There's a report that some 90% of our small businesses in South Africa are under stress. So many of them may not know that there is relief available. So are we speaking even to the SMME sectors here as well with regards to some relief that is available to them? And you know, we're talking about participation and awareness, but is it being done? It's a question, Chair, because the economy, is particularly our SMEs, they need assistance. And we're talking about small businesses don't seem to be, are not aware that relief is available. But are we upping the take with regards to the awareness of relief that is available for them?
I think there will be a prominent point as well of us, the DTI, working with small business as well, because that's where most of the kind of projects that we actually raising, that we should actually see and understand how much are we making impact on. Maybe how we as the DTI cooperate and partner and work with the small business development department or portfolio. So there might be a thing that we may have to look at on how we can do something joint to get sense on how those projects are actually succeeding or not, or what might be challenges. So I think that might be actually quite helpful to have a look at how we can work with the small business sector for the SME particular. Yeah. Huyan?
Chair, thanks. I think on that one also, us as members of parliament, having our constituents' office, we can use those offices to educate and inform small business enterprise to access those incentives and grants, because part of those offices is the responsibility to share and give information to the masses. Thank you.
Okay. So maybe we can note that. Okay. All right. And then on page 7, I was trying to actually get that, because the point you're raising is 6 to 7. On page 7, if ever there's any comment, looking at the issue of illicit trade and the issue of best practice to small farmers development. There's one issue highlighted at the bottom of page 7. If ever there are no comments, we can ask that we look at page 8, where the issue highlighted is the implementation of the funds administered by the IDC. If I can take comments, Buyane.
Chair, I think on that one is just to acknowledge the department of the revised parameters in terms of page 8, second last paragraph. You can see there are measures that the department is trying to implement, that is trying to assist our department in terms of dealing with these issues. One will be maximum investment size should be reduced from 50 to 10. It also assists that the one that was receiving by one entity is now will be received by three. And also our understanding that the employment will also increase in terms of one entity. Thank you very much.
Okay. Unless there are further comments on page 8, we can actually then proceed to the next page. It does actually, page 9 introduces the Department of Trade and Industry. In terms of strategic goals, I think those will be what we actually see often. There is no change, and there's the issue of overview and assessment of the financial and non-financial performance. We look at the period of April to September. Maybe we can proceed to page 10 to look at the issues of non-financial performance. If I can actually invite members to comment page 10, if ever there are any issues you'd like to raise or comment on page 10. Page 10. Three.
Yeah, here I think again, in the light of the challenges that we have economically, and certain sectors that are performing poorly, 163 enterprises or projects approved for financial support across all the sectors, a target of 250. You have this target. We are not reaching those targets. The economy needs every bit of help that it can get. One of the things that some of the departments have been doing is returning money back to Treasury that has not been used because targets are not met. And so if we don't put pressure to ensure that targets are being met, and we have a role also as government to ensure that money gets into the economy. And so I'm just concerned. I'm concerned that there is a slacking in terms of meeting those particular targets. So I think, again, we probably would need to keep our eyes on that and to ensure that the Department of Trade and Industry actually meets the targets that it actually sets in terms of the KPIs that it has.
Montasha?
On this page, on the...
Can I have your mic on? Have your mic on.
Thank you. On the second last paragraph, Chair, export sales to the value of 1 billion has been generated against a target of 2.1 billion. The details try additional events that have higher returns on investment had recorded relatively low export sales. Furthermore, no sales has been recorded for the major show as it is an international source of providers. The DTI would engage in a more aggressive and targeted recruitment of companies for the remainder of the year. We accept that. But I would love us as a committee to get feedback at the end of the financial year on whether they have kept they've kept the plan and the promise on recruiting more companies in the remainder of the current financial year.
Okay.
That's a point.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think on the very same issue that Honorable Tring has raised, it goes back to us as well as members who can inform companies that there are applications. As much as there are applications, you need to at least educate them how to apply, because the fewer they get, the fewer they approve. And we've got responsibility as committee as well to inform them that these are the incentives, go and apply, these are the applications, this is the process for you to grow. I think as well, as the Mandash has already indicated, Honorable Dada, the 1 billion, we must check as the department, it's more aggressive now, and the target recruitment. As a committee as well, we've got the responsibility to make sure that the target is reached by informing and educating our constituents. Thank you, Chair.
There is actually a few areas which one thought might be important, where we actually having targets exceeded, targets not met. There are a few areas which one thought I should raise on. 3, 2, 1 is the issue of the annual target that did not have a second quarter target that has been exceeded. I'm just saying in the continued discussion with the department, we may actually want to understand more why will that issue arise in that way. But further, when you look at the second paragraph on those 5 targets, the part of the statement which reads, Minister's review meeting, but had not been prepared. They were supposed to have been prepared, they were not. So we may have to make sense of was it done or did it happen? Because those are the things which we're hoping to check. Are we achieving or are we not achieving? The further point, I think, is on the second bullet point under the 5 targets of 1, designation requested, should have been prepared for minister. This has not been achieved. So I think it will be under those kind of statements that one will say, maybe when the department comes and share and we engage, we try and check if they are within, you know, targeted framework in terms of time and in terms of the resources. Are they using resources allocated for the period at the right time? If it's exceeded, we should actually get a motivation around that. So there will be lots of issues which might come like that, but on this page 10, those are the areas which I thought it might be important that we have a look at them. Margot?
The Chair, just that the committee notes on that first KPI that wasn't met in terms of the quarterly implementation report on the IPAP, that is now falling away because of the policy shift to the reimagined industrial strategy. So there's a need to adjust the APP, but that couldn't happen until probably now after the NPPS.
So I think those are the... I think on those is actually the verification of those details where we actually told of targets. We actually just have to make sure that it's, you know, achieved, not achieved, so that we can be able to get sense on how we actually follow through on that. So can I ask that maybe we proceed to the next page, but for page 10, those are the points which one has actually picked up. On page 11, financial performance, if there were any comments. So if financial performance as at 30 September 2019, so we can look at the next page if ever there are no comments, questions for clarity on page 11. We can move to page 12 with the issues raised during the deliberations. Mitigation of the impact of ArcelorMittal South Africa, Saldanha plant closure, and that's one very important issue. I think that's the main issue on that, on AMSA, and the engagement on the government side, page 12. If ever there are no questions or comments, we can then move to page 13, support offered through the incentive programs, the bullet point, and progress in reducing red tape, which relates to ease of doing business, the carpet.
So I understand the purpose of this exercise is to make sure that it's an accurate reflection rather than discussing the content. And in light of that, if you remember the discussion that we had when the CPRC came to brief us, they said that they had sent a team of developers to the Department of Employment and Labour in order to try and get the UIF and compensation fund registration down to one day. So I think we must just correct that, because, you know, this kind of creates the impression that they're going to be able to do it. They're still investigating whether or not that is in fact possible.
If you can specifically highlight so that we can be able to amend that carpet as well.
Chair, so I would say something along the lines of the CPRC informed us, or the commissioner of the CPRC informed us, that they have sent a team of developers or RCT developers to go to the Department of Employment and Labour in order to see whether or not it is feasible to decrease the registration time of the UIF and Compensation Fund from 30 days to one day, similarly as they were able to achieve with other departments on the BIS portal.
With content advisor, just the point of actually the concept of what you want us to raise, to cover, carpet. Margot?
I'm a little bit concerned. I hear the point that it's an important point, but the question is the statement that the DTI has made factual or not, that the BIS portal does have these services, irrespective of whether it is within the 2 to 3 day time frame or not. So it may be sufficient as is in terms of if this is factual that the service is available, but there's obviously work that needs to be done to improve the time frame so that it improves the fast tracking of how quickly you get these things done.
Okay.
Are slightly two different issues.
Okay. I'll take Kathleen and Buyane.
Chair, just to correct Marga in this particular instance, they informed us that they're not able to do the UIF or the Workmen's Compensation Registration Fund at this moment in time on the biz portal in addition. So that is a factually incorrect statement to say that, that they're able to do it within a specified period of time and they're able to do it in the first place because they haven't yet been able to integrate that into the online system. So I think just to correct that point, that they aren't able to do it up until this point.
Mbuyane, you'll follow. Because I think for honorable members, there's a record we want to capture status quo, and we would actually want to engage further to know if we are making any progress or we still have challenges. Mbuyane?
Chairperson, thank you. I think there's a response here with regard to the question of Comrade Cuthbert to say I'm recruiting. From the 2nd November, domestically you are able to establish a company, and that company you can able to reach a domain name, BBBE, UIF and compensation, that means it's the Department of Labor. That means from the 2nd they're able to achieve that. So for me, for Mr. Cuthbert, just that is to verify on his portal to share this thing is happening. But in terms of the report, it's from the 2nd of November. That thing is it's functional, and it will register a company only one day in terms of what they have written here. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Democrat Mbuyane over there. I think is maybe slightly misguided in what he said, and the reason I say that is that they've told us that there are certain functions, and this is in a prior briefing as well also in statements that they've released, to say that they have a limited amount of functionality. But these two things, I can assure you, are not working at this moment in time. They weren't tested on the pilot project because when you went to Westgrow for that presentation, they even said to us that those are the two elements that they are still working on. So I think maybe what we should do is we should verify with the CPRC before we actually conclude on the statement. But I'm about 99.9% sure that is not in fact correct.
Okay. We'll do the verification before on the matter, Chair.
Because I think the only thing that might be a concern is the accuracy of our capturing of what they committed to do, so that at least we work on the basis of where we start from. Cuthbert, the point is noted. Can I just check if there are any further comments? We on page 13. If ever there are no further comments on page 13, we'll move to page 14. And trade deficit with Brazil, Russia, India and China. The issue on page 14, progress supported through Global Exporter Passport Program, GEPP, is also an issue highlighted. If ever there are no comments, can I ask that we look at page 15? There's table 4, which actually is looking at synopsis of sector of 416 participants. So the list is below, and then there's an issue relating to budget of the Industrial Development Division on page 15. Because there are no further comments on page 15, I'll ask that we look at the next page, which is page 16.
I just want to be full. This budget for IDD is figures for the 2nd quarter, and the financial aid is still progressing. So we don't know for sure if they will have any money lingering or excess money for now. That's my understanding. I want to be full. So they can still continue with their priorities until the end of the financial year. Or can we, can we ask them to take some money from this prior to the end of the financial year?
Okay. So we can just maybe check on your part, is there any specific issue you'd like us to talk to Mantashe, or do you have any suggestion on that point?
I don't have a suggestion. I'm asking. The financial year has not ended. They are reporting on the second quarter. We don't know what the third quarter has got. So can we ask them to shift funds from any of their programs before we see what is happening in the third quarter? Is it possible? I don't have a suggestion. I'm just asking. I want to be good.
We can check for content advisor if ever there's any comment specifically to that. And Cuthbert, do you want to raise a point?
Chair, do you not think that Ms. Mantashe's comment is slightly premature considering the fact that it falls under one of the suggested Democratic Alliance's recommendations and conclusions, and we should maybe just leave that for that particular part of the report? Because that is exactly what the recommendation is, and it seems as if Ms. Mantashe is already speaking to that before we even got there.
Because there have been actually previous engagement as well on the same issue. So let me just say, there was actually the volunteering of the Democratic Alliance to say, no, you may be covered by some of the suggestion to the committee. I think maybe on my part, I thought, let me just check. I hear what you say, Honourable Cuthbert.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not putting the cart in front of the horse. I want to be schooled so that I understand. Whether we can, looking at what they have spent now on the second term, can we suggest to them that they shift some of their funds? It's not directed at the Democratic Alliance.
Okay. Unless maybe there's any comment from the content advisor, on our part, I think we can actually make suggestions, but I think we can see how we pick up on that issue. Is there any comment on that specific point?
Can I just clarify, Ms. Mantashe, would you like just an understanding of the principle of violence in general or IDD specifically?
I'm just thinking of this because I see a request. It's not in terms of the amount,
Ms. Mantashe, let's just have a look also at the APP of what that allocated for these specific areas and what's left over. It really just be off the cuff.
Okay.
We were actually looking at page 16, and on the basis of actually the Township and Rural Economies Master Plan. On that paragraph, there is actually a sentence. The DTI clarified that the Department of Small Business Development would be responsible for such a master plan. We were referring to that Township and Rural Economies Master Plan. So that's actually one part which we may have to highlight just in a point of reference and identity of how that program will be covered, but that issue relating to access to business visas and work permits, which is actually the last part of the discussion before we look at conclusions. So I think maybe before we go to conclusions, I'm not sure if ever there are any further comments on the body of the report
from members. If not, I'll ask that we pick on the issues based on deliberations in terms of actually conclusions of the committee. I can actually then ask the secretary.
Chair, two parties submitted concluding recommendations for consideration, the ANC and the Democratic Alliance. You, Chair, I request that you move the first, which is the ANC recommendations and conclusions, for consideration. Thereafter, we consider the Democratic Alliance recommendations and concluding remarks. Members were distributed with copies of both documents, I assume.
Okay, so the copies were distributed. I can just check with members if we've got the copies. Democratic Alliance and the African National Congress. Can we then actually take one at a time? What would be the order? So where do we start? Comrades and Democrats. So we have that before us. Yeah, I'm sure, I hope everyone has got the contribution of Comrades and Democrats. And then we can actually try and proceed from there. Okay, so maybe we can ask you to just proceed on the basis of what you received before us.
Yes. The ANC has submitted concluding remarks. I think it will be the other parties who need to look at that and either indicate their agreement to what is being proposed, or the disagreement, or propose amendments to it, or something like that. So the other parties, I would assume, need to look at what the ANC are proposing and either say they have an agreement or not.
Okay, can I just check that everyone has got the copy in front of them? For the ANC, we'll just look at those concluding remarks. So the first page, the committee raised concern with continued contraction of the economy, in particular the manufacturing and agricultural sectors, as these have been potential to contribute to job creation and poverty reduction. So on those concluding remarks, I'm not sure if ever there's any comments or question. If none, I'll take the next one. Furthermore, the announcement by ArcelorMittal South Africa about the intention to close the Saldanha plant is unfortunate given the foreseen impact on job losses and industrialization generally. The committee acknowledged the historic effort made by government and the public entities to support ArcelorMittal South Africa and continue efforts to mitigate the impact of the foreseen closure of the Saldanha plant. Unless there are comments on number two or issues that we may want to speak to, we'll actually move to the third one. The committee welcomes the progress in developing sectors, specific master plan, as well as the collaborative approach being utilized to develop these. Furthermore, it requested that the DTI provides a progress report on these processes. So that's the third one. The fourth one, the committee was of a view that it was essential to develop township and rural economies as part of the facilitating inclusive economic growth and to effectively contribute to efforts to address inequality, unemployment and poverty. Therefore, it is necessary to also focus on a broader master plan that considers township and rural economic development. That's the fourth point on conclusion. The fifth one, the committee acknowledged the minister's intervention in the agro-processing competitive fund, competitiveness fund, that could improve access to funds by more beneficiaries in a more targeted manner and legal and lead to greater job creation opportunities in the agricultural sector. That's the fifth point. The sixth one, the committee noted the progress made with the five technical working groups addressing the ease of doing business, in particular progress in terms of the starting of a business. In addition, it acknowledged the establishment of the interdepartmental committee addressing policies impending the immigration regime, particularly in relation to the business visas and work permits for investors and the finalization of the critical skills visas list. And then number seven is on the next page. The committee welcomed the narrowing of the trade deficit with BRIC countries through trade and investment promotion and facilitation initiatives using the BRICS platform. And there is actually an additional point. I'm not sure what actually would be the issue of engagement around that, because I think it might be important that the committee was concerned about the high salaries and bonuses being paid to executives and board members of the DTI and the EDDs, public entities, as these were in excess of the Public Service Administration guidelines, given the current fiscal constraints. The issue of recommendations. Okay, Andre?
Chair, the board will speak to the matter quickly, Chair.
Chair, we put it in yellow because after receiving the conclusions from the parties, we realized that this matter wasn't addressed on the 12th of November and there's no record of discussions related to it. My understanding is it came in with one or more of the entities' discussions, so we suggest that we move that item to the entities report.
Maybe I can get comments from members. McPherson?
It's astounding that there's no record of that discussion, because I have a very clear record and understanding of that discussion with the DG. And in fact, the DG made the point himself that he's worked at the DG for so many years and has never received a bonus. So it was a very pertinent discussion of this committee. And I think it's vitally important that we know that the public sector wage bill is one of the biggest threats to the economy at the moment and the indebtedness of the country. So I think that the committee is perfectly equipped to make this one of its recommendations, because it is something that we should understand. We have 14 or so entities that report to this committee, with CEOs and board members earning billions of rands, including bonuses. And I think that is an important issue that should be presented to this committee and is one that is well suited in the recommendations.
I'll take Montasha and then where?
Chair, I remember I was one of the people who raised this point with the DG. I'm not sure if why was it not captured? Or I may be corrected to say it was during an engagement with a certain entity of the DTI. But certainly, I agree with Honorable McPherson. We raise it. We may be making a mistake whether we raise it during deliberations with the department or with an entity of the department. But definitely, the reason why, as the ANC, we raise it, it was raised by us as a concern that the SOEs are not performing well and the entities and the financial constraints, but their bonuses and salaries are at a very high level. And not observing what the Public Service Commission's salary ranges are, and it is eating up on our fiscal.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think I was about to make a proposal to say, can you make this a recommendation to the department, not as a concluding remarks, because we might also want to follow up as to whether things are happening in the department or not. Thank you, Chief.
Chair, we are not disputing that there was this engagement on the matter. That's not under dispute. What we are saying, the report that we're dealing with was out on the 12th of November. The issue that is raised was not raised during that particular proceedings of that engagement. What we are saying is that we are preparing a report on entities. We've dealt with a lot of entities, and that report will capture this concluding remark as well as the proposed recommendation that the parties are making. We are not saying that there was never a discussion on it. We are not disputing the accuracy of that. We are saying it was not during that engagement or during the second quarter report, and that this will be captured in the entities report that will be tabled and forwarded to members and which the committee will consider. So this will then be captured, but proposing that be captured on this. We are not saying it was never discussed or anything to that effect.
I think McPherson.
Thank you. I hear what Mr. Herman is saying, but there is absolutely nothing that precludes this committee from putting this in a report that goes to the House, which the Minister needs to enact on. And so I would strongly suggest that that this committee is within its right to include this as a recommendation in this report that will go to the House. And then once that report is adopted in the House, then a separate report will come to this committee on those entities. It does not have to be one or the other. It can be both. And I would strongly make the point that this remains.
Andre?
Chair, ultimately, it will be a decision of this the committee on where it will be placed, but the entities report will also be submitted to the House for consideration. There most likely will be recommendations and conclusions, but it will ultimately be the committee's decision on where we put it. But like I said, the entities report will also be tabled for consideration in the House.
I would then suggest that we proceed, because in terms of the Democratic Alliance input, it's actually, from my take, the concluding remarks, mainly on the DA's conclusions.
Those were recommendations in that page from us as recommendations.
Okay. It's all of them actually is recommendations.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Can I then ask that I will read on recommendations, because I think on the last point that was raised is that there was also a suggestion that it can be moved to recommendation. But we'll actually then make a suggestion that let me read the last part of what is recommendation, which reads, informed by its deliberation, the committee recommends that the House request that the Minister of Trade and Industry should consider the first one, engaging the Minister of Small Business Development to develop a master plan to revitalize township and rural economies
And then the second point is a consideration of the salaries and boards being offered to executive and board members of the public entities reporting to him. So that's Minister. So that's a suggestion of, as a point, maybe because it's only a recommendation on the Democratic Alliance, I can actually read through that as well, so that we can have a discussion on how we conclude as a committee on those issues. You wanted to comment first, or maybe the first one, but should I read through McPherson, or so that we have
a full discussion? I just want to get clarity if you're going to go through the list as we sent to you.
Yes, because we say the list as is. Okay. Andre?
You concluded the concluding remarks of the ANC as well as the recommendations. The Democratic Alliance submitted a list of recommendations for consideration. As you could see, it's just rewording of what they say. They just need to indicate if they are agreeing to the way we captured it, because that's the way we will capture it in the report. But I would assume that they will stick to their own recommendations.
Let me actually just, while you're actually thinking aloud, there's actually Mr. Dube, who's here. There's a document which is circulated to you. Can I take just 5 minutes, because I've pulled an official from his office to come to speak to us about the issue of skills. Bob Dube. To Willington, the Siabongu, who was sounded. So can you just speak to us on that? Yeah, you can come sit next to me if you...
Good afternoon, Honourable Minister. I promise to keep to the 5 minutes. If I exceed it, it won't be more than by a minute. Just a quick introduction is that the members responded very well and cooperated. Encouraging you to the assessment form that we distributed. So to us, it just showed a clear indication that of the desire that the members have to improve the skills and the knowledge. And then when I get to the assessment itself, on the top there, just a quick summary that we received 10 responses. I suppose that means only one may not have responded. And out of the 10, 9 members indicated that they've got metric, only one did not have. And out of those, 3 had the honors degree. One had an undergraduate degree, 3 had a diploma, so that leaves 3 with a metric or no metric. And the areas, the skills gap areas that the members highlighted in the order of how frequently they highlighted them were the areas of governance and leadership, management in general, project management and development, policy formulation, conflict management, public finance, trade and industry related training, research, economic development, well, the last two generic. And then when we had a look at the diverse nature of our population in terms of the level of skills, we recommended that it would be better to start off with an N2F senior certificate qualification, because the main aim is to get a recognized qualification. Of course, generic training is also important, but in this particular case, our brief was to try and target a recognized qualification. So we determined that the starting point, entry point, would be N2F 6 senior certificate that's targeted to trade and industry matters. And then once the members could complete that and be the diverse group now becomes on equal footing, then there would be an opportunity to go to proceed to a postgraduate diploma, which would be N2F 7-8. Of course, beyond that, the master's qualification is always available. So this N2F 6 senior certificate in trade and industry is not it should not be viewed as a limitation, or is not a limit. There are other possibilities beyond that, and there could be, as because we are still in the at the stage of conducting the service providers, that is the institutions of higher learning, to find those that have a ready off the shelf, ready made package that can address these requirements. The one that's come closest coincidentally is the one that had come to the committee before from the Nelson Mandela School of Public Governance at UCT. Now, they don't have an off-the-shelf, but what they have can be modeled much easier than other, or can be customized much easier than the other institutions of higher learning. So the top prize would be if they could give us something that they, as I said, they already have, that will not require a further application to the first application will go to the university faculty of economics, and once it is approved there, whatever offering they will propose for the committee, once it is approved there, as I said, if it's not an already existing, then it would have to go to the council of the university. That's another process. And then once it's approved there as well, to apply to the actual national qualification authority, that one is much longer, because whatever they submit, the national qualification authority with invariably will always request certain adjustments and certain alignments so that everything is up to their standard. So that's why that the last part of the National Qualifications Authority takes much longer. So we are waiting for the determination of the faculty at this stage And before I put time frames, I think it will suffice to just point out that our group is has got the adversarial of being the pilot or the pioneer group of for this type of training proposal. To the extent that the next group committee members will benefit from your suffering. So what you go through will result in an established training program for the committee for the future generation. So don't despair whatever you might be going through. In conjunction with the committee secretary, because the chairperson is always is a very busy office by definition, we will try and shorten, you know, these time frames that the university is trying to give us. That's all for now. Thank you.
So I thought it just because it's just presentation, we actually won't be asking questions, but then it's a submission, and I think on our part through Secretariat we'll follow through with yourselves. We'd really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Okay.
Just speaking about time frames, but I don't see it in the document.
Proposed
time frames that are still coming.
Yes. Because the reality is that there should be specific sense where we actually get sense of what by when, and for each one of us to be able to be shown the space and category that we actually be going into. So I think it's a point where there will be concrete proposals to individual members who are here of what options we have, and then we'll take it from there. Okay. So that's why I say it was just to make sure that if there's a presentation, we pick it up from there. But the Secretariat and Dube will actually then work out and come and actually suggest and propose to us, and we'll actually then have to respond and start attending those programs. Okay, Yaku?
Chair, thank you for the presentation. I'd just like to know, in terms of the time frame, are we expected maybe next year we start, or what must we do from now?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, honourable members. I ran through this very quickly. I did indicate that there's two options when it comes to time frame. The one option where there's an already existing program that can be picked off the shelf. That one will be implemented immediately. That one will be implementable immediately. Now the second option, where there is no already existing readily available fit type of program that talks to these requirements and criteria that we have listed here, where now applications will have to be made firstly to the faculty for the new program that will have been designed. Applications will have to be made firstly to the faculty for approval, secondly to the university council, and then lastly to the National Qualifications Authority, you know, for the NQF certification. So that one will take quite long. The second option. So long is like 3 months. No.
No, I thought that it would have been useful if we get a presentation when things are in place, because this is just data. And I think we must ask them by when they will come. I heard you asking now, but it was a conversation between the two of you, so that we know, and then you come back when there is a firm proposal that we can choose from.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Babu Duga, yeah, for that. Because the point here is that we shouldn't drop the ball. We should actually make sure that at least all 11 of us, because they said there must be the, might be the missing link. I'll follow through on that. Yeah, to get you. So can we then finalize the process we started? I thought then, Mafisan, you wanted to actually go through your document and then actually get us to resolve on the recommendation side. Mafisan?
Thank you very much. I think that just some of these speak to the points that we have discussed in this report, and bearing in mind that this is a report that goes to the House and your resolves for the Minister to consider and implement. So the first being the Minister has spoken much about extensively about a steel master plan, and particularly the downstream sectors involvement and participation, and so we believe it is fit that that such a plan is tabled to this committee. That is the first point. Second point is that the unused funds from other department programs under our EDD are adjusted and moved to other incentives programs that desperately need that funding, like the Manufacturing Competitive Enhancement Program and the Downsteel Steel Competitiveness Fund. The third point is that the committee is furnished with a report relating to the department's progress in finalizing outstanding disciplinary cases. This is an issue that has plagued the department for some time, with officials being on outrageous amounts of leave while disciplinary processes drag on, which ultimately affects the performance and functioning of the department. The fourth point is that, as we had discussed earlier, that a review of the appropriateness of the salaries and bonuses for executives and board members are provided to this committee. That is an issue that also hampers the functioning of the department. And since we have come to this committee, we have repeatedly asked for the legislative program of the department, including urgent amendments to bills. We have yet to be furnished with that, despite the Minister saying on record that he would do so by the end of September. We're now at the beginning of December. So I think that those are all reasonable and rational recommendations which speak to the body and content of the report, as well as the conclusion, is items that we feel are important. Thank you.
Okay, I can take comments on the recommendations as presented before you, Mulder, and then Mantasha.
Thank you, Chair. With reference to number one of the Democratic Alliance recommendations, I just want to mention something. It's actually very important that if we look at point two of the concluding remarks of the previous document as well, that we realize that the steel industry as a whole is in trouble in South Africa, and ArcelorMittal is in trouble, not only Saldanha. And we cannot, in our concluding remarks, only mention make mention of Saldanha, because that won't be a solution, a real solution to the problem. The whole steel industry, but the whole ArcelorMittal is under threat, according to the own account, without deliberating into the facts. So I don't think we cannot only mention Saldanha. So therefore, I think it's important that the DA is recommendation be included, especially as far as point number one is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I want to speak on number one, two of the EA submission check. On the first one, my understanding is that the department has already started looking into the master plan for all sectors. And I'm not sure if it would be correct if we say the department must commission a master plan when they've already started. I just want to check with the DA whether the word commissioning was the correct word when the department has already started with the master plan as was requested by the committee. That word commissioning. And I would also propose that after debating on this word commissioning, we move this to be in the conclusion of the report. And on the second one, the second one talks to the question I posed earlier on that I wanted to be schooled on. Looking at the outstanding or remaining funds in entities and departments, whether we can before the end of the financial year or earlier than the third quarter be able to do viament on funds to other programs that were not intended to for. Thank you.
If I can say that I take the point of Mrs. Mantashe, and what we could do is say that the minister and or the department presents all the master plans to the committee, because I don't think that we've had sight of all of them, and I think that that would allow the committee to come up to speed, and would then also allow us to speak to specific issues like the steel master plan, so we can essentially reword it to make it more inclusive. And I would like to say that I think that both 1 and 2 deserve to be in the recommendations, Mrs. Mantashe, because unless we recommend to the House that the Minister does X and Y, there's no compulsion on the Minister to do so. It's just a concluding point. And I think that we need to make recommendations that the Minister considers to do instead of just being a point in conclusion. And I think that would allow the committee to better do its work if we are putting concrete resolutions to the minister to consider and then to come back to the committee work.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honourable Molda has raised the question in terms of the commissioning, because we already have a master plan in place. Just that we are not going to deal with only the asylum matter, because there's also Saldana in the process, and I think they must be conclusive in one master plan. All steel industry must have one master plan. Secondly, Chair, I think on the adjusting and channel of the use of unused funds, we are agreeing, as Comrade Mantashe has already alluded to. But my issue is we cannot have other departmental programs channeled to IDD. We can have only the IDD programs channeled to
to other programs that were used, the funds that were not used on the IDD, not on other programs. That means, I mean, the departmental programs must be removed, the departmental, in terms of the proposal. I don't know whether we've got all this, we have this one that talks to the departmental proposal. Thank you, Chair.
One is just hoping that we can get a way to capture that, because it doesn't sound like there's a big disagreement, but just a point on how we capture and where we actually make a proposal on. Maybe the issue of the master plans, Andre?
Chair, just to remind, you wrote a letter to DTI recently requesting an update on all the master plans. And we set a deadline for a response to the status of these master plans by the 9th of December for DTI to submit to the committee the list of these master plans that they are doing and what is the status of these various master plans. I've spoken to the DTI official, Mr. Rogers, to see where is this response coming. It's in the pipeline. We hopefully will receive it by tomorrow, according to her, because I saw the questions raised by the parties. So there will be a detailed response to the status of these master plans and where they are and when we will receive it. So the Chair has written to the Department as a result of the discussions we had throughout the engagements with entities and department, the Chair has written to them to ask them a status report on these things. So there is a response that is forthcoming from DTI on that particular matter on the clothing and the poultry, all the master plans in this regard. Hopefully we'll have it, hopefully by tomorrow, but by the end of the week we should have a detailed response from DTI on the matter.
So can I just maybe check, Mbuyan?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think in a nutshell we are agreeing in that spot. For us, I think we have to move and support. Then the secretariat must just look at the grammar and how they present. Because in terms of the subject, we are agreeing that we need master plan and how it's going to be used. Also agreeing in terms of channeling the unused fund and also in terms of the steel metal industry. So what we can just do for now is to agree to say you adopt the agreement and the report. Chairperson, as I'm saying, I rise to propose that we adopt the report as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, and I want to agree with the Honourable Mbuyane's approach, and it would not be any different to the way that we have done something like this previously, where you know we broadly agree on these issues. It's just about grammar, so we can adopt it in principle, and then I think that what you can do is then just send out a final draft with the correct wording.
Okay, can I then just check? Okay, Andrew.
Just on the issue, I have no problem with the proposal that is made, but there are some issues that were raised about like the legislative program, which are in-house internal matters that we can deal with in terms of a letter to the department. And in the correspondence that we also had, it was that question was asked for them to detail. So my view is that should the House now agree to a program of that particular of that nature. That's just my view.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm going to say that that these are issues that this committee has asked for repeatedly, and have not been provided to the committee with respect to Mr. Herman. No matter how many letters and how many times we've requested the department in this. So, I mean, these are views and decisions of the committee, and that's what must be respected. Even if we've sent 5 letters, then we'll send another 10 letters. That's what the view of the committee is, and that's what we must take forward.
Mantasha?
Chair, I hear what the DA is saying, but I request that we we see the response that is coming from the department that is promised by latest the end of this week, and see whether the answer to this question of which legislation is going to be put on the table by the department instead of putting it on the report now. And if then they have not responded to it in that response that we are expecting, then we see what we do.
Thanks. The trouble that I have, Honourable Montash, through the chair, is that if it's not in the report and not agreed to now, we will be having the same discussion next year when we're considering the next quarter report, and then all of a sudden we'll be told, no, there's another letter that's coming. And every time we consider these reports and we want to do something, it's amazing how there's always a letter coming from the department to answer questions. And so there's no harm in putting it in the recommendations, and if the department fails to respond, which to date they have continued to do, then we are covered there. If they do happen to respond, then the issue becomes moot. But I think we should have this in the report, so we are saying to the department that we are serious. They can't keep telling us that there's a letter coming, and then it never does come, and that it's only when we have these tough discussions, then all of a sudden there's work in progress that's coming.
What I'm actually picking up is that it might be the reporting to the committee from the chair and the secretariat in communication with ministry and department. I think that may be one part which we may want to sort out in a way that there is actually accountability, like correspondence that we might have sent through. That's what the secretariat is saying. If ever we actually don't have those documents, because it's not a point of reporting to the committee that we dealt with before, there's work that is actually being done through secretariat, through the office of the chair, which we haven't actually informed the committee about. So I'll just say on those ones, maybe as secretariat, if we can, it will be very helpful that we actually make a submission in communication and response from the Department of Ministry in these specific related issues. Because obviously it won't be beyond the date of today. It would have been issues raised before. So if ever maybe we can be able to agree to say, can we actually observe this one and make sure that there is actually communication confirmed or reported? Because from Secretariat and the Office of the Chair, we have actually followed through or initiated the processes linked to discussions we had in the committee. But we haven't actually accounted or reported to the committee. So maybe we can actually do that, Andre, maybe for the committee, myself ask for indulgence that we are able to actually share the communication to the point where we're at, and on the basis of the recommendations as we have it, you might find that we might have actually done what is required, and if not, then I think we'll pick it up from the as a committee. Because while we are expecting your response, if the communication or engagement takes place in the committee and you repeat same, it sounds like you don't know who's doing what. But on my part, I think it's quite important that I actually brief the committee of what I've done to this extent, particularly on this particular issue. If we can be able to do that, then I would really appreciate that we take the issue forward in the understanding that the furtherest we have done, the department would understand and ministry will know what is it that we want in terms of their accountability as a committee. So can we leave it at that? And then we actually can then see how we actually proceed on the final documents in terms of recommendations, picking up on the issue which you have actually suggested. Are there any further comments from members? And if not, can I ask that we actually then proceed to conclude on the matter. Okay.
Chair, I just want to get clear instructions from the committee that we include the issue of the master plan as well as the issue of the legislative program as part of the recommendations. If that's the instructions, we will include it. If otherwise not, the committee need to indicate that that should not be included or not. So we just have to be 100% clear from the secretariat point that it is included, and then we will do the necessary.
Okay. If we can agree with that inclusion, Buyane?
Yeah, Jefferson, we have agreed with Honorable McPherson to say on the commissioning one, which is the metal one, we agree, and also the one of the departmental unused fund, we agree. But on this one, we said we are cushioning the department in terms of engaging, because if you write a letter, you need to expect a response. We cannot go in the house and talk about our issues which you are failing to deal with. So let us agree in principle to say you are dealing with this in-house as a committee. After that failure to that, you can even expose ourselves to the house. Thank you, Chair.
As suggested, as Secretariat, I'm sure members are comfortable with that. McPherson?
We're comfortable with that, and we'll second the adoption of the report.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll actually then move to the next item. The program is the oversight one, oversight program.
Chair, it is the same program that was distributed last time, which will include the Saturday store, and but we will not include an engagement on up till Thursday. We will end on Wednesday because we've inquired about many parties will probably have a caucus on that first Thursday before the State of the Nation address. So we felt it is important maybe not to to be on oversight when members would want to refer to be in Cape Town on that Thursday. So our program will finish on the Wednesday evening. We just need to check, we will be in communication with members in terms of if we're traveling the evening of Wednesday or the morning of that Thursday to Cape Town, because for members to be in Parliament as a result of that. Those the issues that fell off the program was on with the NES and the IBC, but we are scheduled when we come back from that engagement, the NES and IBC programs within Cape Town that the committee will visit.
With those amendments, we can agree.
Any particular reason the NEF didn't want to see us?
There was no such request from the NEF. It's just that it was on a Thursday. Members, the caucus was happening on Thursday. And we scheduled that engagement on the 11th of February. Chair, another matter that I need to alert members to, this oversight program is still subject to approval by the House Chairperson on that. So if he approves it, we'll proceed with our activities on the 28th of January. If he does not agree or approve the program, the committee will start its committee activities on the 28th of January, but within Parliament, where we'll have a program with that. So it's still subject to approval. The oversight program is not given that he will approve it, but if he does not approve it, our program will start on the 28th of January. We do have a program there just to alert members to what the program would look like if that is the case. But the first program is with the oversight included in the program, and that's the program that we need to approve. But if it's not approved, committee will still start on the 28th of January, but within Parliament on activities, and that program will just be distributed. Okay.
Sorry, members, we need to collect information about the members' whereabouts and when they will be departing. In case, because in the meantime, whilst we're waiting for approval, we'll need more information on where you will be and where you are going to be picked if this is approved, so that between now and the time when you depart, we know exactly, because there's a lot of financial issues involved, and we are also going to be leaving on the 13th. So in between this time, we need some accurate information. We'll be contacting you about that.
With that understanding, I'm sure the program is agreed to. Can we actually then take the next one? Agreed to? Take the next one, Andre?
Chair, the next one is just a program, the first quarter program on our return from our oversight visit. We will start on the 11th.
but I also distributed a program. If our OSR program is not approved, there is a program that will start on the 28th. This will change. It's a program that will start, but that is a program that we need to approve that includes the OSR.
So the program before you that we need to approve, that includes the oversight as well, it's circulated. I'm sure committee members will be okay. They will agree that we proceed it that way. Okay. Okay. Buyane and then Mantashe.
Chair, I'm not so sure because similarly we'll be approving two programs. We have the ones that with oversight, we have approved it.
Yeah.
And now we need to approve the one with no oversight. So I don't know what is it that we need. Yeah. But honestly we must be able to indicate what is it that we need oversight of, because we cannot just go oversight without indicating. And no one can just disapprove, because oversight is part of our mandate. That is why we are here as members. So who's saying is not going to approve our mandate? Thank you, Chair.
Mantashe?
I think we had initially as a committee agreed that we're going on oversight on the problematic entities of the department. So that was our agreement as this committee, and the Secretariat is proposing this program of oversight. But Chairperson, I want to talk to what Mr. Madima is saying, that they want to know where we'll be. We don't know. We're going on holiday. We don't know exactly where we'll be by that time, because we were at liberty to move all over the country and abroad. For us to say where we'll be now, we will not be a genuine answer, honestly. I don't know what they want us to do, Chair, because I have many...
Chair, I think it's important, although the challenges members may have on the travelling, overseas travel during this whole period and stuff like that, we will make the assumption that members will travel from their constituency, from their home base at that time, because that would be the most practical approach to this whole thing, is that members will be on the Sunday, when they need to travel, on the Monday, they need to travel, they will be at home. Because they will not be traveling from overseas on that day. So we are making the assumption that every member is at home. Members who live in Gauteng, we will probably engage with them individually in terms of some members may want to feel, because we're staying the weekend, they would prefer staying at home. I'm just using as an example. So where members indicate that clearly we will not maybe book accommodation for them on the Saturday and Sunday in that case. So we will communicate those kind of, members need to tell us that on Friday I'm sleeping at home, I'm seeing you on Monday morning again, but remember we are meeting on Saturday, so that's not, you know, Saturday evening you sleep at home. So members will need to manage that kind of process. So we will, because the challenge is that there's a clear instruction from the House Chairperson. If we book your ticket, we are not allowed to change it. You, as a member, are required to make their own changes and pay for any costs associated with that particular change. The committee, Parliament, will not be held accountable. If you change your flight details after you've confirmed it with us, it's on this day and that time, and then you wish to change it. It will be you as a member that will negotiate, that will raise with the travel agency yourself and pay anything that needs to be paid. So it's quite important that we have that. But we will be in communication before members arrive, hopefully by Thursday, to get clarity, because we need to submit the application. Mr. Riani, I understand what you're saying, but it is subject to approval, notwithstanding the urgency of what we see. So I can't say it will be approved, but let's hope it's approved. If it's approved, the first program then remains. If it's not approved, the second program falls in place, so that members know that we are moving on the 28th of January in with our engagements and stuff like that. So it's just, the one is a backup.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, if that's the case, then we can approve both of them, if either or. And also, I just want to school Mr. Mantashe that from the 13th of January to the 27th of January, is a constituent. She must be in the constituents, not on holiday. Thank you very much.
We didn't hear that. Can I just say there are two programs as presented before the committees agreed to. Thank you very much. So can I just maybe just say we won't be meeting again as a committee. So can we actually just wish everyone restful, safe, and secure time, more time with family as well, because constituency do take most of us away from our family. Don't actually lose this opportunity to spend more time with family. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.